You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day, and I'm joined on the line by Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers, Makwe Masilela, to take a look at some of these movements. Dr. Masilela, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Been a fairly quiet day on some of the fronts in terms of markets, but a good day for the Rand.
Definitely a good day for the Rand, and afternoon to you or evening to you and to the listeners. And I think the Rand is at the back of, we are seeing that expectation for rate cuts have mounted very fast, and now that is helping the Rand as well, given that we expect the dollar not to do that great. And also remember, bonds do very well in this kind of an environment. And I think that age-old relationship between equities and bonds, where fixed income offset losses when stocks fall, had been thrown in doubt in recent years. But now it seems, Jimmy, that is coming back. But yes, it has been more or less a quiet day. Remember, Japan is closed as well. And remember, last week, as much as it was a short week for us, but it was volatile globally. But we managed to end up 1.4%, you know. And I think as it stands now, market will be looking to any signs when it comes to that inflation number of the US, and that is their CPI on Wednesday. And markets basically are no longer looking off whether the guys will cut rates, but it's a question of by how much or the rapidness of that cut.
Makwe, let's stick with that story in the US for a second. I mean, the picture has gone very, very different over the last couple of months. We've gone from 7 rate cuts to not even expecting 1 rate cut. Now we're expecting 3 rate cuts. What is the inflation print this week going to inform? Is it going to be more of a confidence around whether we get 2 or 3? Or is this something where we're expecting a rate cut in September, but it's either 25 basis points, 50 basis points, or even 75 basis points?
I think it's a confirmation of, as much as we expect inflation to tick up a little bit, we don't expect that to be a big issue for them, in the sense that the guys will still continue to give us that 25 basis point cuts. If you remember last week during the sell-off, we've seen a lot of Fed officials pushing back the idea of a jumbo rate cut. And I think also on Saturday or Sunday, we had one of them pushing back saying inflation is quite high. But the nice thing, Jimmy, is that we've got the Jackson Hole Symposium happening sometime next week or so, if I'm not mistaken. And that as well, we might be able to get a very good indication of what is it that the guys will be doing in their September meeting. So personally, I'm not too much worried about the number on Wednesday, but I'll be concentrating more on the comments or the statement that the guy will be making at that Jackson Hole Symposium, where you've got most central bankers meeting. And anyway, it is known, you know, to be one of those events that now and then you get one central banker, I mean, giving us a nice tip of their next move.
Absolutely. Jackson Hole, I'm looking forward to that as well. I believe it is the end of next week. You are right there, Makwe. Let's move to what's been happening with some of our local counters. We've had some developments come out recently, some SENS announcements today. Let's start with Sasol. They announced that they're expecting to incur some impairments. They're expecting headline losses. Take us through what's happening there.
And, you know, their performance was negatively impacted by the challenging conditions, which continue to put pressure, and then also low chemical prices and constrained margins. But however, Jimmy, those were partially offset by stronger Brent oil price, improved refining margins, and higher sales volumes. I'm saying if the guys are able to do that in this current of environment, managing to increase sales volumes, improving refining margins, imagine if we are right and we get interest rates to go down, then probably that will improve the economic conditions and they might do okay. And I think market participants, we've been looking more into their core headline earnings per share, which were down only 27%, as opposed to the headline earnings per share, which were down 77%. And bearing in mind that the big issue here, it has been that impairment. I mean, we are talking over 55 billion, but the good thing is that the biggest chunk, which is almost 25 billion, is from that US business, and because of those prolonged softer market pricing and the outlook. So I'm saying not too bad. Market reaction also didn't react that bad. Or maybe we've seen it coming given their sales metrics that they shared with us the past week or two.
Makwe, let's stick with South African companies that are doing things in the west of the world. Gold Fields has now bought a Canadian miner for a cash deal, also in the billions.
Yeah, you're talking almost 29 billion. You know, I think one positive for me is that the guys have been involved with these guys for since 2023 or so. They started due diligence 2022, so more or less they understand the operations. But remember now, they continue to try to diversify. They're trying to look for high quality. But the thing is, if this gold price doesn't continue to go up, then the guys might be disappointed because now they'll have been bought, you know, at high levels, at high valuations. I mean, you look into the price, we're talking almost a premium of 55%. So we just hope for their sake that the gold price continue to be at these elevated levels, or at least it starts going up. But yeah, do they understand the operation? Yeah, is it the wise move? It all boils down to the pricing going forward, whether they'll be able to make the money.
That's very interesting, especially when we look at the, as you mentioned, the premium that they paid for it. It's not often that a premium of such a high amount or such a high number is something you then have to rely on being able to recover given the current economic conditions. But we'll keep an eye on that and see how that goes. Supergroup also gave us something. The share price didn't do so well. It was down, I think, about 14% on the day. What was happening there?
You know, revenue was up 10% and their profits were down almost 30%. But Jimmy, obvious reasons. Logistic issues here affected the commodity transportation. Logistic issues here continue to be a big deal. Issues when it comes to Russia, Ukraine is impacting growth as well. And if economies are not growing, what is it that the guys will be moving around?
That makes so much sense. What do we then look forward to when we look at companies? I mean, we've gotten reports or conversations from the likes of Kumba that say that they're happier with where Transnet sits now from a logistics point of view than where they did 12 months ago. There is a bit of optimism around that logistics space, but how long before companies start to see that positively affecting them and not being such a drag on numbers?
You know, and you see the question here, the likes of Kumba, they're looking as well, not only at the port itself, but they're looking into the rail as well. So if the rail is getting fixed, then that's going to affect the transportation when it comes to the likes of Supergroup. But yes, generally, you'll want your infrastructure to be working efficiently, and it's going to work out much easier and cheaper for the likes of Kumba if rail as well gets to be fixed at the same time when we get the harbour as well getting to be sorted out. But the likes of Supergroup, you'll want the economies to grow so that you can start moving things around. Yes, we know they're also involved in dealerships, also that also relies on the economy to be okay. Now, lately, people are keeping their cars for much longer, and then, yes, that should at least help their maintenance and sales part division of their dealerships. But when it comes to new cars, we'll continue to see some muted response because people keep cars much longer. So, all in all, it boils down to good economic growth.
Speaking of things that are affected by the economy, Ital Tile. Now, I mean, during the pandemic, Ital Tile was hugely popular with the amount of home renovations that were going through, and people were very busy under lockdown trying to improve things, and Ital Tile's numbers were doing really well. This time around, a couple of years later, not so much.
Coming from a very high base, and you are right, you know, we realized because we're spending most of our time at home, whether working or studying from home, and then remember, we're also not allowed to go out, whether it's holiday or eating out. So people use the money to improve their environment. But anyway, there's also increased competition, not forgetting that now lately we're talking about consumers who are under strain, whether it's elevated inflation or interest rates, but also the rest, this whole thing about cheap imports coming into the country that's affecting them. And Jimmy, you can only put tiles into your house or improve your house up until a certain point. It's not something that you can do every quarter or every year.
Certainly some interesting local developments, but also some things to look forward to internationally this week. We'll leave it at that, Makwe. Thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Makwe Maselela, Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers, on some of the movements throughout the day, as well as some expectations ahead of the week.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.